He said he was going to read from Romans chapter 7. I got nervous. I thought, did I fat finger a text? But it was Romans chapter 5, and that's where we're going to be today. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, we're going to read from there and pretty much stay there. As you can see behind me, and I'm going to attempt to drive this PowerPoint while I talk. Hopefully that will work. We're going to talk about proof positive that God loves you. Everyone here this morning that is married to someone or has a very close friend has told their spouse or their friend at some point in time that they love them. If you were married early on in your relationship, you told them that you love them. So why is it that you need to remind them or show them? Why is it that you would give them a special card or write them a special note or give them flowers or purchase something nice for them? Why do you do those things? You already told them that you love them. What would be the point of that? They should already know that you love them. Well, the reason that we do those things for our loved ones is to prove to them that we love them. Proof of something is really important. Proof positive is the evidence taken to be final or absolute proof of the existence of something. We hear of proof positive a lot of times in maybe math or science, where you prove your work. You prove that by showing it in different ways. Or in science, you prove a theory. Well, the reason that we do the things that I talked about earlier is to prove to them that you love them. We read in Romans chapter 5, and as I was reading there and thinking about this, it got me thinking about the proof that God loves us. For those of us who are raised in the church, we've known that since we were a little kid. But why? How? I was thinking if we created our own list of the seven wonders of the world, so we were to come up with those wonders, maybe our number one, or I felt like maybe my number one would be the truth that has seemed to stagger mankind forever. And that truth is that God loves you. And He loves me. Why? Why would He? Have you ever just thought about that for a minute? Why does He love you? And why does He love you so much? When we read from Romans chapter 5, we see that that's exactly what Paul is talking about. In verse 8, we see God, it says, "But God shows His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I'm using the ESV quite a bit in this, and I have, I think, one passage in the NIV or New Literal Translation. God shows His love for us. He demonstrates it. He displays it. His love for us. Not only does He say that I love you, but He says, let me show you how much I love you. I feel like if we can truly grasp this concept, it will make not only a significant difference in our lives, but it will make a major difference in people's lives that have never known Christ. We're lucky, most of us sitting in the audience today, we're lucky that we were born and raised possibly in the church or had someone that cared enough to tell us about God's love. But there are millions of people that don't understand that. Think what a benefit it would be for them to know that. See, when someone understands God's love, it changes, I think, your prayer life. It strengthens your faith. It increases your joy in God. And it enhances your ability to walk with God. And for sure, it is a huge benefit to us being able to evangelize to others. Because we can then tell others how amazing that love is that God has for us. how amazing that love is that God demonstrates towards us. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God." Rooted and established in His love. He wants us to understand how wide, how high, how deep His love is for us. He wants us to understand every aspect of that. When you think about what He's doing when He says how high, how wide, how deep, He's giving us dimensions. If you've ever tried to build anything, you must know those dimensions. You need to know everything about what you're going to do. The height, the depth, you need to know. Understanding His love for you and me is important. We on this earth, I don't think we'll truly ever understand it. He says it's going to surpass your understanding. Yeah, we think we grasp it, we understand it, but it is going to go beyond the ability to comprehend. And it's important for us to never forget the full measure of the love He has for us. This is absolutely critical that we understand it, and critical that if we're going to tell others about Christ, that they get it, they understand it. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11. Let's just read this. I know it's been read to us once. Thank you, Malachi. It says, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love, His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." This is what we're going to discuss today, those verses. This passage, I think, could be probably one of the more important passages in the Bible. Not only does He tell us that He loves us, but He gives us three proofs that He loves us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Those three proofs that God gives us here to tell us that He loves us. First, God's love is proved by what He did. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, which we just read, Christ died for the ungodly. The next verse talks about Him dying for righteous, death, we see His by His blood, and the last verse talks about, or speaks about, the death of His Son. If this passage is anything, it's about the proof of God's love and the death of His Son. Five times in four verses, it emphasizes Christ's death. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He demonstrates it. He displays it. He illustrates His love. The ESV says He showed us His love towards us. God loves you. We all understand that. But I think we can have a fuller understanding. The height, the breadth, the depth of His love. He showed it when He died for us. One of the greatest proofs of God's love is not that He left heaven and became a man. It's not that He came to earth. It's not that He lived a righteous and perfect life, or that He preached perfect sermons. or that he worked miracles, but that he died. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." That's from the NIV. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John writes, "This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." You want to know what real love is? The world talks about love all the time. I don't know that the world knows what real love is. This is the real love here. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son. It's the greatest demonstration of real love that we're ever going to see. He told us and he showed us by sending his Son to die. The second point is that love is proved by who he did it for. I think Paul helps us to understand who he died for, and in these verses that we had just read, he shows us the amazing love God had for us, and that he died for us. Paul reminds us who we were before we became Christians. He gives us four words, or four conditions, of why Christ died for us. So, let's look at these four. He died for us while we were still weak. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, we see that. We were still weak, and at the right time, Christ died. We were completely helpless. We were utterly powerless. Totally incapable of saving ourselves. Christ came to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. We can't save ourselves by doing anything extra. We can't save ourselves by going to church more, or being a good person, or a better person, or by giving a lot of money, or a lot of acts of kindness. There's nothing we can do. We are utterly powerless to save ourselves. The second thing he did is he died for the ungodly. Romans 5 and 6. When we were weak and at the right time and helpless, and now Paul says humanity was ungodly. God's timing, as we know throughout the Bible, is always perfect. But his timing here was perfect. Humanity had proven its inability to keep the law. Think about it. For 1,400 years, roughly, they couldn't do it. Mankind was helpless. They were weak, and they weren't, and we aren't, capable of saving ourselves. You think about that time. It was absolute wickedness. There was no regard for God. There was no reverence for God. There was no honoring God, no fearing God. There was not even anybody seeking God. It got to that point. We would say that people who were pursuing evil, they were turning to evil, they were profane, they had disregarded God, they were mocking God, challenging God. Mankind's thoughts were continually evil. We read about that. I don't know if there's such a thing as a natural godly person. I don't think we're naturally godly people. But we're told here that Christ died for utterly helpless, ungodly, profane, irrelevant, wicked people. Number three, he died for sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 7. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare die." I think he's given us some reasoning here. Paul is saying that the people, they wouldn't dare lay down their life for someone who's a good person. And scarcely or rarely would someone die for a righteous person. We've heard people say, oh, I would take a bullet for that person. And there are people that have done that. There are people who will take a bullet for someone else. But not most people. And that's what he's telling us here. He's setting up this comparison. He's helping us to understand that there might be a human instance where someone who really loves someone, for your children or for your loved one, you might die for them. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's the difference. God demonstrated His love while we were still sinners. God didn't wait to love us until we were believers. Have you thought about that? He didn't wait to love us when we loved Him or when we were believers. God loved us even before we had thought about Him. Even before we were created, He loved us. You might die for a family member or someone you really love or a really good person, but God died for the worst. The fourth point he makes here is God died for His enemies. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He died for us while we were enemies of Him. He didn't wait till we loved Him or until we followed Him. He died while we were His enemy. We can turn in the entire book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through Romans chapter 3, verse 20. We read how mankind was actively opposed to God. Active enemies of God. Sometimes it might have been subtle, but sometimes it was outwardly obvious that mankind hated God. They were an enemy. Mankind, apart from God, does not delight in God, doesn't worship God, doesn't care for God, doesn't seek God, and more importantly, they oppose Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Think about that. Sinful nature is always hostile to God. We are, or were, before we came to Him, at enmity with God. We were enemies of Him. But God proved His love by what He did, which was He died for us. And then He proved His love by who He did it for. So that brings us to our third point, which is God's love is proved by how He now relates to us. Here's Paul's reasoning, or here's thinking on this. If God died, and He died for people like us, people who are weak, people who are ungodly, people who are sinners, enemies of Him, people who didn't deserve it, if that's true, if He died for those types of people, then what we're about to read in verses 9 and 10 must be true. Verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Well, what does this justified mean? We need to understand this or we're going to miss the point. Justification, and Eric has talked about this before in class in great detail, is found in chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5, and it starts in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I vividly remember his class about this. What does it mean to be justified? Well, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 tells us we were justified by faith, and that is what gives us peace with God. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 tells us that justification means we aren't guilty, and that comes through His gift to us and through the grace of redemption. Romans 3 and 26 tells us that God becomes the justifier of those who have faith in Christ. Justification comes through faith in Christ, and it leads to peace with God. Verse 10 tells us, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall be saved by His life." What does this word reconciled mean? Now we've come to another word. Reconciled to God by His Son's death, much more that we are reconciled. The possibility of reconciliation happened when Jesus died for us, which made it possible for us to be brought back to God. When we think about two people who reconcile, we think about a time where they're not on the same page. They're not in agreement. They're not getting along. Well, that's what we were. We were sinful, and that separates us from God. But Christ's death made it possible for us to be reconciled or brought back to God. God's death clothed us in righteousness, and He made it possible for us to be with Him and in Him, and He in us. He made it possible so that we could have no charge against us. And this all happened at His death. Verse 11. "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." More than that. That's like almost saying, like, on top of that, in addition to, we rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now have reconciliation. This idea is now that we can go around celebrating or telling others or rejoicing, talking about, telling everyone what Jesus did for us. It's almost as if we can't wait to tell others about what He has done for us and how He loved us. I mentioned that it makes telling others a lot, it makes it a lot easier. We're excited to tell others. My message is really, really simple. It's something that we've heard from little kids till now. But I think it's important. When you think about why, just in our lives today, why is it that you continually remind your spouse that you love them? We love that proof. We love that reassurance that they love us. And whether you are 80 plus years old and have been faithful for a lot of years, or you're just a teenager and you're learning fully about His love, it's important for us to have that proof. He proved His love by dying for us. More importantly, He proved that love for dying for us when we were weak and we were ungodly, when we were sinners, and when we were enemies. He proved His love for us by giving a relationship to Him. He adopted us into His family. What a special thing. Doesn't it feel great to know that you are part of Him, that you're part of His family? Is there any other family you want to be part of than His? Isn't it nice to know that we are His sons and daughters? And that He loves us? We should never doubt that. We should never doubt that God loves us. We go through maybe difficult times in our life. Maybe you're not feeling well. Maybe you've been sick for quite some time. Maybe you've got something else going on in your life. And it's easy to doubt. Does God love me? You might say, "Well, Clayton, I just don't feel like He loves me right now. I just don't feel like He loves me." Well, feelings come and go. Feelings are temporary. And you know, as Christians, we shouldn't live by those feelings. What we should live by is our faith and what we know. And when you read from Romans chapter 5, we are reassured. We are proven something that we are to know. We know that He loves us. And we should never think that God doesn't. When we cry out to Him, He listens, and He helps us when we're in times of need. My message is that God loves you and has proved it by dying for you, even when you were at your worst. It's a wonder of all wonders. God loves you, and He loves me. Sometimes hard to understand. Just like in that science class or that math class, that you want proof positive to know something. I was thinking about things in science. You know about gravity. You understand gravity. But if you wanted proof of gravity, go get up on the roof and walk off. What happens? You're going to come crashing to the ground. That is proof positive there is such a thing as gravity. You turn to Romans chapter 5, you turn anywhere in the Bible, but Romans chapter 5, and you read those verses, we have proof positive that God loves us. And oh, doesn't that feel so good? If your faith has wavered, or you haven't had the benefits of this love, maybe you've heard about this love, you see it, but maybe you don't have proof of this love in your life. If you don't delay. You can have this love, and you need to just be baptized into Him. For those of us who, for whatever reason, have been challenged, or Satan's there and trying to tear you away, trying to tell you that Christ doesn't love you, or that God does not love you, it's not true. And we have proof. Whatever your need is, please let it be known as you come forward and as we stand and sing.
Upon the tree, there He suffered.